You are listening to New Music Box from New Music USA, presented in collaboration with Dublab Radio as part of a series where we feature conversations, DJ mixes, articles, and live performances that explore the current landscape of music composition.
Hi, thanks for joining us. I'm Sen Moreira. I'm from Warp Records and Warp Publishing's recently launched Warp Composers Branch, where I'm super excited to get to work with some of my favorite artists as they really push the boundaries of what music for film and television can be. I'm sitting in conversation today with someone whom I am really excited about and have loved working with. That person is artist and composer Casey MQ. Casey, I am super excited to talk to you today.
Same here.
You're somebody whose work in like your albums, your producing work for other people. Like, I love even hearing you in the studio in the other room, like working with people and like the things that you hear in your head and like hearing you sing them out and start forming them. And I just think that you're such a special artist.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Artists in that way that you can work all three of those things and make like beautiful things come together. So many different sounds, like very versatile in your audio work. I would love to hear about kind of like what drew you to composition and what that process was like for you getting started.
Yeah, funny to talk about, like, to specify composition, because I've really started to understand, like, or think about music as like a, I don't know, it's such a huge, huge landscape, right? Like what it is and how it affects our lives and the ways that like for composition, like that came from just a pure like love of growing up with like pop music, and just like as simple as that was. And then I was learning like classical piano at the same time, and so I was just like constantly already like at a young age just kind of like intersecting things, or like hearing music in like the wide ranges that I feel like, I feel like as I've been growing up, it's been this constant like digestion of like trying to identify yourself within music, like how like it can be on these corners of this world and over here, and like, and how do they, why can't they speak to each other, and why do they not speak to each other, like why do we say like actually these are not connected, like we make these sort of like maybe arbitrary decisions, or maybe they're important. Like, I don't know. But it's questions that I've like continually asked myself as I've like become more and more in like composition and as a composer and as a writer, whatever the word is, actually. It's just like getting deeper into music and what that says to identity, I guess.
I love that. How did the first project come together?
Like my very like KCMQ project?
Yeah, and your first composer project. Like, what was your very first film and how did that come
okay.
to you?
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, that was that, like, coming into, like, composer and, like, I guess that's, like, identifying what that is in this context. Like, for me, like, I was moving, freshly moved to Toronto, where I was previously living in Canada, and I saw a program called the Canadian Film Center, And so I'd always been, no, I have to go back even further, actually. One of my best friends used to make films in university, and he was, his name was Matthew Schultz, and he was in school for that, doing many short films, and I just like started, he was like always asking me to just like put music to it, and I was just kind of doing that as like a friend thing, helping him out, and we loved working together and had a blast. So anytime he asked me to do anything, I was like, yes, I'll do that. So that was actually the very, very first thing. And then later on, I saw this Canadian Film Center program, and I was intrigued because of the what the program was. It was like this, in Canada, we have this, it's this incubator where they bring directors, writers, editors, musicians, actors all into one like 6-month program. And basically when you're there, you're meeting people who are pretty much at like the precipice of their career. Like they're maybe about to start shooting their first feature or something like this. They've had a short, but now they're going, like, you know what I mean? There's different kind of levels, I guess. And you basically spend like that 6 months just like making a ton of work, and you kind of try to do things. Each director has wildly different ideas of what they're trying to make or what they're trying to say. And so that was a crazy experience because I really fell in love with that world and really working with music as a support to like another piece of work, like to a larger vision, whether it be film or it could be dance, it could be theater, but for this one it was film. So I started to become really, really into it. I became obsessed, and I was like doing like a string quartet, and like I had like trying all these new things that I had not really done before that I just really wanted to go into and like just really learn. And so like coming out of that, I made a lot of friends there and started working on their films. They would get funding from various grant systems or whatever it could be, like various things, and then we would go ahead and make the movies that they kind of said that they were going to make, sort of. And so that was the kind of start, I think. And then it's been just kind of like rolling from that point on.
That's such a great resource. I love
it. It was really interesting. Like, I think it was like this really, I don't know. I just didn't know it. I didn't know all those people. And then I met all those people and they were so nice. And we all got like the projects that I was really excited about. And you really kind of find where you connect artistically. And it was really good.
Had you been making music as KCMQ and producing for others at that time already?
Well, I've been working on my own music, and I was starting to become like, I was like starting to move towards making my first EP, and I was working with my friends. Like, I was maybe at that same time I went to the Red Bull Music Academy and did that in the same year. And I felt like that was a really also another like really great experience of meeting like just a wide variety of people and bringing new context to what music is and what it can be and how it intersects and all those different things. Like, so I was starting to make like new friends there. And so there was a lot of different things kind of all in new chapters maybe, but I've been making music from that point, like, I've been making music since I was like 12. So it was like, I think identifying to make music that was maybe not in the song form structure, that was becoming a new thing to me around that time. Like as I was getting to the Film Center, as I was going to Red Bull or RBMA, like I was expanding my like understanding of how I can exist within music, because I think at first I was really just like, I write songs, I produce the songs, and I love that still, obviously, like, but it was like this was just widening the scope of that. And it's been really fun to see as I continue just the constant overlap. Like, it's so overlapped, and it's such a great way to deconstruct what it means to be a musician.
Yeah. Have you found that one influences the other more so? Like, hearing you say, like, you had never worked with an orchestra, which also now, following you, like, you look so at home.
I know, I love it. I know, because it was a big part of my life to do classical piano. So there was, like, that, you know, and I know it's not for everybody. And for me, for whatever reason, I really was drawn to it. And I, in the same regard that I was writing pop songs. So I kind of was like getting into the theory quite like early on. And it was sort of this like background, like knowledge while I was writing songs that I was like, you know, maybe I like took a step away from classical for a second to kind of be like, it was just, I think I just needed it. And then when I came back on my own terms, it was like this newfound love. And it's only gotten like deeper and deeper because I feel like I have a new entry point versus maybe like the traditional, like just like I need to practice, I need to get good. Like this like, there's just like I'm like hearing it differently, which is like an incredible experience. Was the question, were we saying if things were over, like how they, if they over, like how do they overlap? Is that what we were saying?
Yeah, no, I thought the answer was great. But also like, have you found that any of that has made its way into your production work? Like, are you starting to?
That's what it was. Like it fully comes up. Like, I don't know, for some reason, the orchestral stuff, like, it's so in conversation with like just producing songs at this point. And like, it's becoming this like really interesting way to understand, what I also can provide to a song that maybe, somebody else might not initially go to, and like how that can affect the color of the music.
Yeah. I think I feel like producers and composers, like, it really does go so hand in hand. Like, you really have to have a strong ability to like see what something could be.
Well, I think that's the big question. Like, what is the difference? You know, like producer, composer, I think there are concrete skills maybe that you could say that, like, you know, working with picture, for instance, or like making music for like specifically being like, I'm going to write something to this theater piece or dance piece. Like, there is a different mind shift probably. But then in some ways I'm like, gosh, they're just like, it's still sound, right? Like it's really like, and I feel like as we, break down those barriers, actually, we might even see even more of this like amazing overlap from musicians who may not necessarily see themselves as something that could be over there, but in fact, like, it's right there. Like, it's just one step away. Like, it's this, I think it's important to talk about that, actually, that you can really just, I mean, if you have a piano, if you have a computer, like, it's there. Like, I don't know.
You can make a score.
Yeah, you can make a score. literally, like, it's cheesy and it's not. Like, I don't know. It's really, I think it's important, actually.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of, you know, having recording artists go into the scoring space is something that's, like, always been around, but is really picking up. And I think a lot of people are really...
Yeah, what's your take on it? Like, as you've seen other people, as you've seen different artists do that, and like how what's the endpoint for different, like, how, what's the,
well, it's interesting. Like, a lot of people want to do it and they're drawn to it, or you see something that's really moving to you. But I think coming in from having a recording and touring career, like, you're coming with this whole, you have a fan base, you have a reputation.
Yeah, there's maybe something a little bit different. That's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear, I think, too, especially with films. I think a lot of people want to get involved really early and be there at script stage, right, and like planning, and you get a lot more creative say when you're there with the director, mm-hmm, from day one, kind of working on these things and being kept in mind the whole process through, versus like getting it at the very end and having someone be like, okay, pump out my score, and this is the temp track is there, just basically do the temp track. But at the same time, I think that's really scary, especially for recording artists, because there's like, this is my first foray into this. It's almost like fear of an album flopping or something. Yeah, and they're like, I don't know how to tell if this movie's going to be good or not.
Right.
Unless they're working with someone. I mean, and even then, I think it's scary. You know, everybody, your last project can be great, but you never know what the next thing is going to look like. Yeah. And so there's a lot of like trying to figure out between like budget and contractual stuff, but also like, how do I like the director? And then you also have to think about what kind of weight the producer is pulling and what they're going to ask from you. And if it's a studio, the studio might be saying things like, maybe they brought you on because you're very experimental, and the studio has its own set of fears.
Fully,
and they're like,
fully.
Tone it back, tone
seen
it
that
back.
So many of that online so many times, of course. Like, yeah, I guess it's funny, like, that is such a, the what you're talking about with like the recording artist and maybe this is the wrong word, but like baggage that they're bringing, maybe like if they have like a fan base, if they have like all these different contexts that like represent their music, maybe a bit differently than just like the music core. It's like just having the opportunity to explore and like go into that sort of new terrain. It can be, like the ego is going to play like a huge part into making that transition, and what it will be. Yeah, it could be scary, like, because it's not always going to go well. Yeah, I don't think it should always go well. I think you kind of,
I think, yeah, I feel like people should be, I think like that's one of the things with the internet, which again, like, I think that said, like having them come on with all these different things, like when it goes right, it goes right.
Yeah,
you know,
it's beautiful.
It's like, okay, someone's here to see the movie, but it's also, that's my favorite artist and I want to see them do this, and people are coming to support them. And, when it works, it really works. But,
It's okay for it to sort of like, I think it's beautiful to witness people learning and like growing and evolving, especially if like you're a fan of somebody and then you kind of like you see their journey into that and like, oh my god, like they're, you know, this and this person, I was following the work and now they're doing this and this, and it's like over the years, like, I mean, it just has such a, like, just such a human thing to be like, to see people like learn, and you relate that back to yourself and you say like, the ways that you've grown, and like, it's just like, this is what we, I feel like, really connect with in that, when it comes to that kind of like discovery or whatever.
Yeah, I think the internet definitely like makes everything feel so much longer lasting. It feels like, mm-hmm, if you make a mistake, you are that mistake forever.
Oh, gosh.
And it gets people in their heads, versus like failure being such a part of what makes people learn and get, or just taking chances. It doesn't have to be failure. I think it's like the idea of, what if I do this movie? I could do my best work. And there are some films like that where the music is amazing.
Yeah.
There are, there's this film, for instance, I cannot remember the director. Mm. It's called, I think it's Camille 3000, or Camille 5000. It's an old Italian film and the soundtrack is beautiful.
Is it?
And the movie is so corny. But I like, before I even watched the film, I would just play the soundtrack over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it and I wanted to love it. It's like, but it was still a great soundtrack. And I feel like people are like, well, I'm afraid to be attached to something if it's not good. And I don't know how to see that. And I think that's something that makes people that like really just dive in so special. And like, I feel like you being like, I just went in and I didn't know how to work with an orchestra, but I learned and I did it. And like the end product is so beautiful. I feel like your love of what could be and your vision for what could be is what has you going in with new songwriters and working with them to make things, and like going into like a film and being like, I have read the script and we're gonna do this. I'm into it versus being like, well, how do I know if it's gonna be good or not?
Because you're so right. You never know. There's so many parts to, especially in film, like that is a huge production. Like so many things and all the details kind of coming together to make one like it's a real process, like and I think it's cool that what you're saying though is like what you do is you put your effort into your part of it, and it lives in that way. Like that's, I think there's often times where I like watch a movie and I'm like, wow, the costumes were like just stunning. Like you could just like know that you're like obsessed with that part mm-hmm. of the movie. And like, yeah, we take what we need, I guess, from art, right?
That's yeah. Cool. How has the like landscape been for you in Canada and now moving to Los Angeles? Mm-hmm. You're still relatively new to Los Angeles.
Yeah. I think it's going to be like, come January, it will be of 1 year that I've lived in Los Angeles.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's fun to move. Like, it's my first time ever doing that. And doing that in connection with, like, my music has been a really, like, humbling and, like, beautiful thing to try and risk and, like, go for. And, like, just, you know, I love Toronto and I love living there and I love the people there. And I feel like when I was there, it has been and it will continue to be like such a beautiful thing to like make something from your hometown where you're like, you know, the connection and the draw is so wrapped up in where you live and the locality of that. And I think moving here, it's just a new adventure that I was sort of ready to do. And it felt timely, really. That's just like, it just felt like, okay, I should do this. Yeah.
I love that. And have you found as much, like, it feels like coming from Canada and Europe in general, there's a lot more like public funding and it seems like there's something a little bit higher that's very supporting and it feels easier to or not easier but just that there's support behind you when you're a young person starting out. And have you found that support here, or have you found that like you've really had to rely more on what you've been able to build for yourself in LA?
Yeah, I guess it's one I wonder like I don't know so much about how it works in the US to get a movie off the ground versus getting like something like that done in Canada, because in Canada there is like grant systems and there's like Telefilm and these kind of organizations that will give, like, for instance, like for a lot of first features they'll do micro budgets, which I don't know if I know the exact number, but it's like something like $200,000 or something like that to make a movie, which I guess is not that much, right? Like it's still a micro budget, but it is money and it is useful. And then like, and so that gets things going. And I've worked on a few of those movies to get to, and they've been a joy to work on and a lot of learning as well. But I guess I don't know, like, what is it like in the US? How something like that for like getting a film off the ground, is there systems like that, or is it more like maybe it's more private funding? Like, and I know there's private funding in Canada, but yeah,
I think it's a miracle anything gets made. Okay. I feel like it's
yeah, I mean that's probably true in Canada as well, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, I think I can't speak so much. I feel like I've encountered so many different producers and they're all kind of coming at it their different way. Like there are people who, you know, grew up in and around LA or have family and they kind of like get their start that way and they know someone. I feel like there are people who apply to grants. There are like the Sundance Lab. There's
right, of course.
There's different things like that people can do. And then there's all of this like ambiguous middle ground where I'm like, I don't know how you did it.
Yeah,
but you
like
did
here
it.
To here. Yeah.
Like literally. Pitches and, or sometimes you have the lookbook first. And I also think there have been a lot of filmmakers too that have tried to attach musicians the same way that they do actors when they're trying to get funding and get people to believe in a project. When I worked at an agency before being a part of Warp, and that was something a lot of times people would come in and go out and be like, can you ask so-and-so level artists like if we can do they want to be a part of this film? We don't have funding yet, but like, look at the lookbook. Yeah. Ideally, we would have all these people. And can you see the vision? Yeah, can you fund the vision of making it come?
Right.
So yeah, I do think like artists also bring on a lot of musical artists, because everyone involved is an artist of a different right.
But, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I feel like musicians and their like power of influence also can help people get things off the ground sometimes. Mm.
Yeah, which it does have that in Canada as well. I guess it's just like you're faced with this overarching funding body that will do that. Like, and I guess what I've seen from friends is like that, the like make a short, it goes well at a festival. Make a longer thing.
I think
like,
that's pretty common.
I guess
here
that's still like just like the thing, isn't it? So I don't know. Like I really do think doing the Film Center was like a real source for me, a resource, because I was able to just, there were so many different projects that were getting started, mm-hmm. and people were like, even like, I think going to the Film Center, you had to like, for these directors and writers, they had to have like, ideas that they were looking to get made for the future. And so like the whole point was just to like continually incubate and develop. And it was just a long period. It was just a longer period, but I guess that's kind of the way it was. And yeah, I don't know. I've done a lot of films for nothing as well.
Yeah.
It's just like how it started. Like, fortunately, unfortunately, I don't know, but like you just, sometimes you're just like doing that.
It's interesting how like you hear it, like you saying 200,000 or so is a micro budget, like they sound like such huge sums of money. And then when you're working with them, like I think 1 to 4 million is still considered a low budget production film.
Right.
Even though if I had that in my pocket, it's a massive amount of money. And also with composers, you know, the fees really range, you know, like there are people that have long standing careers and could see six figures. There's people who are coming on and they're brand new and someone's offering them something like egregious, like here's 2,000 or 7,500 or something like that. And I think too, there's a lot of people, especially people who are just starting out and aren't quite sure like what's fair. Maybe someone who is entering in and they don't have like a successful recording background to try to like bolster that fee up. It goes really quick. It sounds like an all right amount of time, but that's going into, if you're in a publishing deal as well, or if you're working with a label, like you have to, like a portion of that is going towards the master buyout, the publishing buyout, depending on if they're buying out the rights, which in the US is unfortunately like the standard. And so that leaves a lot of times the composer's walking away with 1/3 of the fee, and then that 1/3 is going to go to the studio time, it's going to go to the players if they're hiring players, it's going to go to them. And by the end, especially if they want to make something good, and like going back to that, like, I haven't done this, I want to make it amazing, my whole like artistic name is into this, so I need to make it beautiful. And sometimes that means some people are even coming up out of pocket to make something good. And I do think it's interesting watching how much that conversation has changed in composing in terms of rights. Especially after COVID-19 and touring going, that was such a scary time. And at that time I was working at a talent agency working with composers, and there were so many people that had never composed before that were panicked and being like, this is something that like I can do from home while not on the road. And also that money that comes in every once in a while that you kind of forget about was like a lifesaver to a lot of people. And I think it showed everyone just how important some of those things are. I think sometimes when like a project comes in, it's just so exciting and you want to make it happen, and you don't realize
the, like,
how much people are taking in the position that they're like putting you in to do that kind of thing. But
found that when you were working in Canada, do you feel like, was that, did you tend to retain rights over your work more?
Yeah, almost entirely. That's why I was like, the publishing, that part of it, I was like, okay, I could see that, but the writers, like, because like it kind of confuses me that that is even a possibility, like author, just like it just questions like almost authorship entirely. Like I definitely, and I'm kind of like perplexed about that.
Yeah, I feel like that was like the last sacred saved thing, like, yeah. I started getting used to like full buyout, but artists will retain the writer's share. And then it was like maybe a year or two later, it was like option A for like the addition of $2,000 all in, like we'll get the writer share. And then some artists were like, $2,000 more, I could really use that. Oh, and you're like, gosh. No, don't do it. Yeah, yeah. Like that's your one thing. And then now you're also seeing like, instead of having it be an option that you can turn down, people offering in their like deal memo, like, we want a full buyout and we're going to take 50% of the writer's share. And that was still like, are you kidding? Like the first time every time I see a new thing like that and people being like, this is how we've always done things. And I'm like, I feel like someone just says that.
Like, this is how we've always done things.
People are like, oh, well, that's how you've always done it. And then we just like accept these really like wild things and they become like a norm in the conversation and the culture. And,
it's very surprising.
Yeah, I hope too that like as more and more artists are like coming into this from like, you know, I think it's always great how people who are further along in their careers have so much power to do the same and be like, no, that's not like my standard, and really push things. And I think that's something I really love about working with so many different types of artists from all different like levels in their career, whether it was at the agency or like now here at Warp. Everybody kind of like working with all those different types of people, you start kind of learning like what's fair, and also having some of those people push back on that, where someone who's just starting out, people are kind of like, well, you need us more than we need you. And it's like, it's very rude. It's very like cutthroat. And I think when you, from like the top level down, you kind of are like, no, we all together are not accepting this. And people they're going to want to work with you. Like you're making great music at the end of the day. So Casey, tell me what's next for you. What are you excited about?
Yeah, I'm working on this movie called Dilly, and it's with a few friends from Toronto that I've worked with a few times, and this film is going to be, I absolutely love it, and I adore the people, and I feel like that shines through in the story that they're telling, and it's exciting because I'm right now, like, I just worked on it a little bit this morning, like, it's getting, the orchestral work is quite large than I've ever done before, and I feel like it's an exciting thing to like really sink my teeth into, to like be like, okay, there's gonna be like 30 to 40 players that need to play this music.
I can't wait to hear it.
That is to me like a crazy experience to like, okay, and we're gonna like, I've done a lot of smaller ensembles, and that's been really, really lovely, and this is gonna be just like, whoa, like it's a really like exciting thing to do. And so we're kind of getting into that now, and you know, we're figuring out what the theme is, we're figuring out the sounds of within the film, and you know, that orchestration, like what does it mean to like have this orchestration, and how will that play like within the context of what I've done as an artist up until this point, like how does that infiltrate into this world. So basically I'm just like so stoked about it. It's going to be, a couple months of working on that. So that's the main thing that I'm focusing on. And then on the artist side, I've finished an album. It's done, and it's like I'm really, really excited about it. It's a different, a new statement, I think, for my artist project that I've always been meaning to tell. And I think it's a really quiet album for me, and that will be out next year.
Yeah. Yes, I can't wait. And I can't wait to see Dilly as well.
Yeah, same.
I am loving all of the videos of you, like, in the studio working with orchestras.
Yeah. It's been a dream. It's so fun.
Well, in 2023, I hope.
Yeah, that's right. Literally, yes.
2023, 2024.
Yeah.
I will be in the theater watching Dilly score by KCMQ, listening to my KCMQ new album titled TBD.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah, thank you so much for sitting with
me. Yeah, this was so nice. Thanks, Sen.
This program was produced by DubLab and supported by New Music USA and featured on New Music Box. Additional programs and more details available at newmusicusa.org and dublab.com.